welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier, delivering an hour of mystery. Later on, Vincent Price stars as the Saint from 1949. But first, an episode of KC Crime Photographer called The Box of Death from April 17, 1947 on CBS.
Another adventure of KC Crime Photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Box of Death. Morning, a darkened street deserted, except for a uniformed policeman languidly making his lonely rounds. In the middle of the sidewalk, he sees a large wooden packing case. He stops, reads a stenciled inscription on it, and then angrily enters an apartment building and rings a doorbell marked Superintendent.
Is that you at the door, Fred?
This is a policeman.
Policeman?
Yes, open up.
Just a minute. What is it, officer?
Does Mrs. George Donald live here?
What? I'm Mrs. Donald. You haven't brought me bad news.
I'm giving you a summons for blocking the sidewalk with that big box out there.
Big box?
A wooden packing case. Someone will break his neck on it.
But I don't know anything about a wooden box.
It's got your name on it. Come and see.
Okay. You know, for a moment I was afraid you were here about my husband.
Why should I be here about your husband?
He hasn't come home tonight. I've been waiting for him.
Huh. He must be an awful chump to stay out when he's got a wife as young and good-looking as you are.
He doesn't usually stay out.
Say, the super of this house is named Swanson. What are you and your husband doing in this apartment?
Well, Mr. Swanson has rented us a room in his apartment until we can get a place of our own.
Well, the old housing shortage, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's the box, Mrs. Donald. See, it's got your name and address on it.
But I haven't the slightest idea what's in it or who left it here.
This sounds awful screwy to me.
Yes, it does to me, too. Officer, open it and see what's inside.
Yeah, maybe I'd better. Thing's heavy as it looks.
The lid is loose, just tied down with rope. Cut the rope, officer. Cut it.
Okay, but what are you acting scared about?
I don't know, but cut that rope quick. Now, lift the lid.
Sure. Holy! A man's inside. A dead man. He's been shot through the head.
Oh, it's Fred. My husband. Fred!
Well, then, Captain Logan, I took this girl, this Mrs. Donald, as she called herself, back here to the super's apartment where I got on the phone and called you homicide, Dixon. When I got through phoning, I couldn't find the girl. She scrambled out through a window.
Oh, letting an important murder witness get away isn't going to help your record, Costello.
Wait a minute. Don't blame the cop, Logan. He had no reason to figure the gal would take a powder.
When I want your advice, Casey, I'll ask for it.
Okay, pal.
She isn't such an important witness, Captain. There's hardly a thing that she could tell you that we don't already know.
And you keep out of this, Miss Williams. What did you just say?
Annie remarked that we could tell you a few things, pal.
You?
Mm-hmm.
Costello.
Yes, sir?
Report to your precinct station and stay on call for further orders from me.
Yes, sir.
And next time you meet a woman who identifies herself as Mrs. George something or other and then refers to her husband as Fred, you get suspicious and hang on to her no matter how good-looking she is.
Yes, sir.
Now get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Now, Casey, give. And you too, Miss Williams.
Oh, you're asking for our advice?
I'm demanding whatever information you have.
Well, he's entitled to it, Casey.
Yes, he really is, Annie, but at times he has such bad manners.
Will you cut the comedy? I'm in no mood for it.
Okay, well, in the first place, according to the witnesses, Mrs. George Donald could have had no part in the murder of her husband.
I know
that. Now, wait a minute. She was too crazy about the guy she married to do him any harm.
How do you know that?
Because we recognize the dead man in that box. It was Fred Lister.
Who and what was Fred Lister?
He's a small-time crook, Logan. Never mixed up with anything big enough to bring him in contact with you homicide guys. While he was alive, that is. up to a couple of months ago. He's a kind of errand boy for Lucky Carson.
Yeah, I've come in contact with Lucky Carson plenty of times.
Not close enough to pin anything on him.
Yeah, go on. Tell me about this Fred Lister.
Well, he had the good taste and the bad judgment to fall for a gal that his boss liked.
Lucky?
Yeah.
A gal named Ella Hagen, hat check girl at the Silver Derby Club.
Both Ann and I knew her. She's a nice kid. Fred Lister became a nice guy after he met her. He left the mob, got an honest job, and he and Ella were married.
Casey was told that Lucky Carson was pretty sore about the whole thing.
I was also told that Fred and Ella had been tipped off, that they'd better pull a fade out. Well, apparently, they took the tip seriously. They were living in this joint under an assumed name.
But they didn't hide well enough when they did their fade out.
You two think this Fred Lister was killed at Lucky Carson's order?
That's right. This job is just the sort that lousy rat would pull on a gal who'd thrown him down for another guy.
Yeah, I'll issue a pickup order for Lucky Carson right away.
Then what?
We'll try to get something on him.
Optimist, aren't you?
That rat can't get away with murder forever, Casey. Come on, we'll go to headquarters and wait for him to be brought in.
I don't know why you're always picking on me, Captain Logan. It's time you got wise to yourselves and laid off.
I'll lay off after I'm able to prove something, Lucky, and you're out of circulation for keeps.
That statement implies a malicious persecution of my client, Captain Logan.
You keep out of this, Webster. And that's another thing. Of course, it was mere coincidence that your lawyer was with you when my men picked you up this morning.
Sure.
Purely coincidental, Captain. I happen to be spending the night at Mr. Carson's apartment.
And three others of my mob, my business associates, was with us.
Someday you'll slip up on one of those phony alibis. You should realize that, Webster, and stop playing with trouble. You've got more brains than Lucky and his kind.
Who says Webster has more brains than me?
You heard me say it, didn't you?
He's trying to get you sore, Lucky. Now, don't fall for it. Now, since you haven't a thing on my client, we'll be leaving here, Captain.
So long, Captain. Poor Fred Lister was a nice punk. I'll be sending a swell hunk of flowers to his funeral, and I hope you get whoever bumped them off. Only I doubt if you will.
Don't be too sure.
Okay. So long, Casey. And Miss Williams.
How lucky.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that thing on your watch chain? You've been rubbing your fingers over it ever since you came in here.
It's my luck piece, Casey.
Your luck piece?
Yeah. It's just an old Indian head penny with a hole bored in it. But I wouldn't sell it for $100,000. I found it on the street one day when I was a punk. It's brought me luck ever since. Look at me now.
You're lucky he thinks it's a reason for his success.
Well, for a long time now, I ain't been able to hire and fire brainy guys like you. And I mean I have.
Well, I wasn't saying that you weren't right about it.
Yeah. Let's get out of here. Open the door.
Oh, sure. Sure, Lucky.
Get smart, Captain. Lay off me from now on.
Get out of here, both of you.
So long.
Those lousy rats. And there isn't a thing I can do to them.
That lawyer Webster's really worse than Lucky because he knows more.
Lucky doesn't like anyone to say that, Annie.
I noticed that.
I never knew about that Indian head penny before.
Well, nearly all crooks carry something they think brings them luck.
Doesn't look as though you'll pin Fred Lister's murder on Lucky, Captain.
No. From where we sit now, Miss Williams, there isn't a chance.
I don't agree with that, Logan.
Why not?
I'm going to have a talk with Fred Lister's wife.
With Lister's wife?
Yeah. I think I can find Ella. Through a close friend of hers, Annie.
Well, why haven't you said so before? You know I want to question that girl.
Questioning her won't get you anywhere, Logan. I want to tell her a few things.
Bruce Judson had no right to tell you I was hiding here in her apartment, Casey.
He knew I wanted to help you, Ella.
Nobody can help me. Fred's gone. I loved him, Casey. Now he's gone.
Yeah, you've had a rotten break, kid. I guess you've got an idea who killed him.
I know who killed him.
Lucky Carson?
Yes.
When you skipped out on that cop this morning, I figured you wanted to pay Lucky off personally. Right?
That's my business.
You know, Ella, murder is murder. Even if it happens to be Lucky Carson.
I have a plan to pay him off.
I think I have a better plan to pay him off than you have.
What do you mean?
Well, Lucky considers himself quite a guy. He wouldn't be too much surprised if you paid him a visit, a social one. He's got a big yen for you.
Talk straight.
All right, Al, I will. But don't tell me my idea's crazy until you've thought it over. Now, here's what I want you to do.
Not all glass is alike. In fact, there are almost as many different kinds of glass as there are flowers in your garden. Some glass is produced for fragile beauty, others for sturdiness. And Anchor Hocking, the world's largest maker of household glass, produces glass of all kinds.
Did you say was to see me, Slug?
That Dame Ella, who was married to that punk Lister till night before last.
Show her in.
No, wait, Slug.
What's eating you, Webster?
Are you nuts, Lucky? That dame came to your parting before her husband's even buried for just one thing. You.
She knows now that I don't stand for no crossing up. Dames go for guys who taught them a lesson.
Some dames don't, and this Ella...
I'm no dope. Bring her in, Slug. But don't take your eyes off her. If she pulls a phony move, you know what to do.
Yeah. Okay, Lucky.
You get behind that screen, Webb, and watch her.
Oh, I'm not one of your bodyguards.
You better be if this babe tries a fast one. You carry a rod, get back of that screen and keep it ready.
Well, okay.
Not that I expect any trouble.
Here's the thing, boy.
Hello, Lucky.
Ella. This is both a surprise and a pleasure.
Of course you know about Fred.
Yeah, and I'm awful sorry. I hope you didn't pay no attention to what the papers hinted, that I had something to do with his killing. They had to admit that the cops turned me loose right after they picked me up.
I read the papers.
Wait till you see the big floral piece I'm having sent to the undertakers for poor Freddy. It's a pearly gates ajar, Ella, done in gardenias and white roses. It'll set me back over a grand. It'll show what I thought of your husband.
I realize what you thought of him, Lucky.
Now look here, Ben.
Don't try to kid me, and I won't try to kid you. I made a big mistake when I married Fred. You've proven that to me. Now I've learned my lesson, and... Do I have to be afraid of you, Lucky?
You afraid of me?
I had to come here today to find out. You won't hurt me, will you? You won't hurt me.
Ella, honey, you ought to know I wouldn't. Here, you sit down on this sofa. Put your head on my shoulder and have a good cry. There, that's right.
Oh, Lucky, I've been so afraid.
Ah, forget it, kid. Why, I wouldn't let no one hide a hair of your head. All I want is we should be pals.
I consider that a great privilege.
Yes. Yeah. How about a kiss, huh? To make it a contract.
No. No, not now. Not till after Fred is put away.
Oh, I appreciate your sentiments. They show you ain't no common, Bimbo, Ella. But we'll get together after the funeral, huh? For dinner, here? Tomorrow night. Okay?
Okay. I've got to go now.
So soon?
Well, it wouldn't look right if I stayed any longer now. Besides, you've given me what I came for. Your friendship. Thanks.
The pleasure's gonna be all mine.
Not altogether, Lucky. So long.
Show the lady out, Slug.
Sure thing.
We're making an early dinner, babe. 7 o'clock. As soon as you can ditch the pallbearers.
You can expect me. Goodbye.
Bye. You can come out now, Webb.
Oh, thanks.
Well, she didn't try no fast ones, did she?
No, you were right. I was wrong.
That's the way it usually is.
The dame's gone, puss. I sure got to hand it to you.
I get what I want, Slug. If not one way, I get it another. Webb.
Yeah?
Run over to my caterer's joint and tell him to fix up 2 dinners for tomorrow night. And be sure he has crepe Suzette's. They'll be appropriate for after the funeral. Get going.
See here, I'm your lawyer.
You're whatever I tell you to be. On your way.
All right, as soon as I get my coat.
Boy, I sure envy you, boss. It'll be nice having that cute little chick all alone. You was born lucky.
No, I wasn't born that way, slug. I was always unlucky, till one day I found this, it's gone.
Huh?
My penny. My Indian head penny.
Penny?
And my luck piece. Look for it, Webb. You too, slug.
Okay.
It must have fallen on the floor. I know it was hanging on my watch chain just a few minutes ago.
Well, I don't see it.
Look for it, you dolt!
Well,
I was rubbing my fingers on it for luck when Ella come in. Yeah. So I'm sure I... Ella.
What's the matter now?
She took it. Stole it. That dirty little double-crosser. Wait till I get her with my lucky penny. Come on. We're going after her.
Hey, look out, boy! Yes.
He tripped over that footstool.
Yeah. His head hit that piano like...
Is that cold?
Flat on his puss.
Yeah. Flat on his puss.
Gee. I never knew Lucky to meet with an accident before. Hey, it's funny, ain't it?
Don't let him hear you laughing when he comes to.
I ain't laughing. I mean, it's funny him taking a nosedive right after he lost his lucky penny.
Yes, slug, it is funny. Wonder what he'll think about it when he comes to.
About sending that gal Ella to Lucky Carson's apartment this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I'd nearly finished, Ethelbert.
Yeah.
Well, she clipped the luck piece off his watch chain, and I was waiting for her outside in my car, and she got in. I took her back to her hideout, and that's all there was to it.
You figure losing that engine head penny's gonna bother Lucky a lot?
I think it'll do a lot more than bother him, Ethelbert. He's a dumb guy and a superstitious guy. The loss of that luck piece will drive him haywire.
When a crook in Lucky Carson's position doesn't watch every step he takes, well, he only has to make one mistake, Ethelbert.
Yeah, which the cops will be watching for like a bunch of hawks.
Captain Logan knows about your scheme, huh?
Oh, sure. He's giving Ella Lister plenty of police protection, too.
You've told him where she's hiding out?
That's right.
Well, Lucky's pretty sure to figure that she took that penny, and he'll try to get it back.
Tomorrow, he'll be tipped off to her hideout accidentally on purpose. And then, unless I'm completely wrong, he'll make his mistake.
Say, what's she done with the penny, Casey?
I have it. Ella hates Lucky so much she didn't want anything around that belonged to him.
Let me see the thing.
There it is. Yeah, it's just an old penny with a hole in it.
You think it's really Lucky?
Of course not.
How could it be?
Luck's mostly a matter of belief, pal. Self-confidence, I guess. You got it or you haven't got it.
I don't know about that. I'll give you a buck for this penny, Casey.
A buck? Look, if you want the thing, I'll give it to you, Ethelbert.
You will?
Oh, sure, it's yours, here.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, but don't let Lucky Carson know you've got it. You might find yourself in a spot.
Oh, I won't let nobody know I've got it, except you, of course.
Okay. Well, come on, Annie. It's getting kind of late. I'll drive you home.
Okay, I could do with a little sleep.
Yeah. Well, good night, Ethelbert.
Night, Casey. Night, Miss Wynn.
Night, Ethelbert.
Where'd I leave the car, Annie?
Across the street, don't.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Boy, I'm tired, huh? Hello, no. Casey.
Lucky.
Uh-huh. Evening, Miss Williams.
Hello.
I want you two should meet one of my boys. This is Big Slug.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You already know Webster.
Nice to see you two again.
So nice, we're keeping you with us for a while.
You're keeping us with you?
Their hands in their pockets, Annie. They've got guns on it.
That's right. We're all getting into this car here, like old friends. You first, Slug. Casey next.
Hey, what's the big idea?
We'll talk about that later. Get in.
Okay.
You too, Miss Williams.
Oh, I guess I haven't much choice.
You haven't. You drive, Webster. I'll sit in back with Slug and our friends.
Yeah. No, I'm a chauffeur.
Get going.
Okay.
Where are we going? Keep you from asking so many questions, Casey. Yeah.
With that gun.
Give this babe the same slug.
Sure. There,
both out nice, boss.
Head for the country, Webb. When we get to a dark, deserted road, I'm going to have some fun.
Finally coming to, boss. You put real stuff behind that crack on the head you give him.
Casey, I thought for a while he killed you.
I wouldn't do that, Miss Williams. Yet. You feel good enough to talk now, Casey?
That talk, Lucky?
Yeah. Where's my lucky penny?
We don't know anything about a penny.
Can it, Casey? I know you put Ella Logan up to stealing it.
Lucky discovered his loss right after Ella left this afternoon. He's about to go after her when he had a little accident.
Never mind about that. Accidents can happen to anybody.
Sure, Lucky, sure. Anyway, I had the foresight to go to a window and see Ella leave the building and get into a car. And you, Casey, were driving that car.
After that, it was easy to add things up.
Very easy. I know you, Casey, and I told Lucky.
I'd have figured it if you hadn't told me, Webb. Casey, you had that dame steal my luck piece because you knew I'd go after it. And when I went after it, the cops were going to be around watching when I started to twist Ella's double-crossing neck. But I'm too smart for guys like you. I was waiting for you when you come out of the Blue Note Cafe. And here you are. Now. Where's my penny?
I don't know.
No?
No.
You'd better come clean.
You've already searched him. You know he hasn't got it.
You can tell me where it is and how to get it.
Lucky thinks that Ella wouldn't keep anything that belonged to him because, for some unaccountable reason, she doesn't like him.
That's right, Webb. Hey, this is a nice, lonely spot. Stop the car.
Okay.
Casey, I'm going to make you tell me where and how to get back my luck piece. Pull him out of the car, slug.
Come on, guy. Come on.
Casey, they'll talk to you. I got
No, no. Keep quiet, Ann.
This slug here will break every bone in your body, Casey. Slowly. If you don't
I come. Can't tell you anything I don't know. Big slug's an awful sap if he does anything for a boss who's lost his luck.
Go to work on him, slug.
Wait. Listen to me, slug, and you too, Webster. You guys have got brains. You taking orders from this dumbbell? Orders that may land you in the hot seat all because he's lost the penny?
Hit him, Slug. Hit him.
No, don't hit him.
What's that?
Oh, Casey. Webb and me are listening.
Slug!
I knew you guys had sense. This jerk you worked for is washed up. All he ever had to keep him on top was a lousy copper luck piece, and he's lost it. He's sunk. He's through.
That's a cockeyed lie.
Slug and Webster don't think so, Carson. You're not lucky, Carson, anymore.
Cut it.
They're not saps enough to go through with your plan. They know every cop and every newspaper in town would go after our murderers and keep after them until they were caught.
I've stood enough of this. You can't turn my guys against me, Casey. I'll show you.
Webster.
You shot him. Just as you're going to shoot Casey.
Yes, Miss Williams.
Oh.
Thanks, fella. You won't regret that.
I'm sure I won't, Casey. I wanted to kill Lucky Carson for a long time. And this afternoon, Slug agreed that it was a nice idea.
Yeah, a swell idea.
Oh, gee, thanks for saving our lives.
Oh, don't thank us yet, Miss Williams. Or you, Casey.
Why not?
Tell him, Webb.
You and Miss Williams would prove awkward witnesses if Slug and I were brought to trial. Remember, I'm really a lawyer.
I mean to become boss of the former Lucky Carson mob.
Yeah, and when your dead bodies are found close to Lucky's, why, the cops will figure he shot you and... You shot him.
That's right, Slug. You see, Casey and Miss Williams, we're going to kill you with a gun Lucky didn't have a chance to use. And then return the gun to his dead hand. The gun I shot him with will be found close to you. You get it?
You shot him and he shot you.
We get it.
Oh, Casey.
No. Don't see any way out of this one, kid.
There isn't any way out. Pick up Lucky's gun, Slug, and do the job.
Oh, you thought up this swell idea, Webb. It's your right to do it.
Well, I don't mind. First, I'll put this gun that I shot Lucky with near Casey so that it will look as if he dropped it. Yeah. Just right about here. Now, you keep him covered, Slug, while I get Lucky's gun.
No, you don't, Webb.
Slug, let go.
You're the smart guy, Webb, but I'm smarter. I'm going to be the boss of this mine.
No, don't shoot. Don't shoot.
Well, he's done for. Now, lady and Casey, I'm...
Webster dropped his gun too close to me, slug.
Casey, did you kill him, Casey?
Did I kill him? I hope not, Annie. Hey, look, will you see? I never shot a guy before.
You didn't kill that big slug guy, huh, Casey?
No, Ethelbert, he'll live.
Until he goes to the chair for killing Webster.
And Webster killed Lucky Carson. The gang's washed up.
That's right.
But not quite the way Mr. Casey figured on washing it up.
Well, okay, Annie, rub it in. I can take it. But I wasn't wrong about one thing, that Indian head Penny. If I hadn't put Ella up to taking it, Lucky and his mob might still be doing business, don't forget.
You were wrong about that Indian head Penny itself, though.
What do you mean?
Huh?
Miss Williams, less than half an hour after Casey gave me that thing, I got a phone call telling me I'd won a $25 silk hat. On a ticket I bought for 50 cents.
Casey!
Silk?
You're like my sister Edna says, quote, even a penny can go to your head. Unquote.
Crime Photographer, starring Scott Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Deek. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist.
Casey, Crime Photographer, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from April 17, 1947. Stotz Cotsworth, the lead as Casey, played in many different radio shows leading up to the series, and in the first year in 1947, only broke character to appear in the Eternal Light series on NBC, which told the story of a man bringing the Hebrew language back to life. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now Vincent Price stars as the Saint in one of his greater radio triumphs, this mutual broadcast from July 31st, 1949, called The Saint Goes Underground.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime is now transcribed for radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Anything wrong, Captain?
Nothing serious, Mr. Templer. Just coming down here for a check. Go on just as soon as we can.
Oh, and where is here?
Headstone, New Mexico. Used to be a big silver mining town, but now it's just another little town, I guess. Although I did notice there's a carnival playing over on the edge of this emergency landing strip.
Well, how long are we to enjoy the hospitality of Headstone?
Oh, 2 or 3 hours. Long enough to see the town, have dinner if you like. We're sorry to delay you, sir.
Oh, it's all right, Captain. I'm seldom bored in a strange town.
Well, you better go back and fasten your seatbelt, Mr. Templer. We're coming down now.
Right. I'll see you later.
Well,
You know me? Yet I don't seem to recall your face.
Harry Kelly, and you don't recall my face because we've never met, but I've seen many pictures of you, and so I recognized you immediately.
Well, that's very flattering. Tell me, Mr. Kelly, how can I get into town?
You can find a cab on the other side of the carnival. Planning on staying long?
Not at all. Should I?
On the contrary, I was just going to suggest that I doubt if Headstone would welcome the presence of the saint. Just a friendly remark, you understand.
Oh, naturally. And if I may be permitted a friendly question, why are you telling me this?
Just an interest in the continued health of my fellow human. If you have any trouble in town, look me up. Anyone can tell you where to find me.
I look, the big show is just about to start. See little Fatima, the girl who shakes and shivers like a bowl full of jelly. Only one dime, 10 cents, the tenth part of a dollar. Hurry, step right up.
Learn what the stars hold for you. I read the past, the present, and the future. Learn your fortune, young man.
I already know it, Grandmother. I'm destined to meet a tall, dark, and beautiful woman. I'll settle for nothing less.
I see strange lines on your face, young man.
Huh?
I will tell your fortune without charge. Give me your hand. I see danger. Beware of a blonde young woman. She will bring you death.
There are worse ways of dying, Grandmother.
I see danger. Much danger for one with a halo about his head. Blood and death. Unless he travels, I see...
I think I'm beginning to get the idea. You might tell your crystal ball that I'm beginning to be interested. Goodbye, Grandmother, and may the saints bless you.
Taxi, mister?
Oh, thank you. Say, do you suppose you can drive me somewhere that serves a good dinner?
Sure. The Silver Dollar Hotel.
Oh, fine.
You know, I was just sitting there communing with nature about how many guys there are who blow their wad to watch some dame do a hula but won't spend a dime on a hack.
Do I detect a touch of Brooklyn?
How could you miss? That's me, chum. Ziggy from Flatbush. I used to drive a hack in Brooklyn. Now I own the only hack in Headstone. It's light, huh? You know, I ain't seen a Brooklyn Bridge for 10 years since I come out here for my health. Like I always say, it's a smart man who knows when it's healthy to get out of town.
Meaning what?
Does everything have to mean something? Me, I mind my own business. I stay healthy. That's why I'm living in Headstone instead of under one.
I see. But if you didn't mind your own business, I suppose you'd give me some advice about leaving Headstone. Is that it?
No advice, Mac. That's part of minding my own business. Headstone is a great place for strangers to visit, if they paid up their insurance.
Here you are, waiter. Very nice dinner. My check, please. No, thank you. Keep the change.
Hello.
Well, this is a surprising hotel. First a beautiful dinner, and then an even more beautiful blonde.
May I sit down?
Oh, by all means, Miss...
Betty Connolly. You're Simon Templer?
I should have worn my dark glasses. But now that the truth is out, you might as well call me Simon.
All right, Simon.
Now, how did you know who I am? Now, don't tell me that you were just passing and recognized me.
Why, Ziggy told me that you were here. He owns and drives the taxi here in Headstone.
I know I shouldn't look a gift blonde in the hair, but why did Ziggy tell you I was in here?
Well, Ziggy knows that I need help, and he thought, well, that is, since you're the saint, you might help me.
Well, I have been known to help beautiful blondes on occasion. But tell me why you should need help, Betty.
Someone's been trying to kill me.
Oh, there should be a law against that. Are you sure?
I've been shot at twice, and everybody here has been very unfriendly, except Ziggy and a man named Harry Kelly.
I've noticed the unfriendliness in this town, but being unfriendly towards you is obviously an indication of insanity.
Oh, please don't joke about it. I'm frightened.
All right, my dear. Now tell me about it.
Well, my father was known as Silver Slim Connolly. He lived here for years. But he sent me east to school when I was very young, and I didn't come back here until recently. My father died about a month ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He was broke, and all he left me was his old silver mine. He called it the Betty Mine, after me.
And I take it somebody wants the mine.
No, no, the mine is completely worthless. There hasn't been any silver in it for years.
But, my dear, you were shot at twice. Have you any idea who did the shooting?
No, but it might be the same man who told me to get out of town.
Oh, who?
Mike McCarthy. Ziggy says he's an eastern gangster who's been living out here for several months. Will you help me, Mr. Simon?
Well, I've never been able to say no to a pretty girl. You mentioned a man named Harry Kelly before. Just who is he?
He knew my father. He's been very friendly to me, although he thought I ought to leave town, too.
I've met Mr. Kelly, and he intrigues me very much. I think we'll go see him.
All right. Oh, just a minute. Hmm? There was some red dust on your coat.
Oh, thank you. Ziggy apparently doesn't get enough passengers to keep his cab dusted. Did you say Ziggy was parked outside in his chariot?
Mm-hmm. He was when I came in. Oh, there he is.
Yes, looking exactly as if he were back in Brooklyn. Hey, Ziggy!
Oh, so she found you, huh?
Thanks to your bird dogging, which I must admit in this case has done much to overcome any natural prejudice against cab drivers that I might have. Say, do you know where Harry Kelly lives?
Sure.
And let's go then. Huh? Hey, don't you ever clean out this hack? What's all this dust?
Well, who knows? Maybe it was that redhead that hired me yesterday. So she had dandruff.
Ziggy, you missed your calling. You're as funny as an undertaker. Well, now, Ziggy, I don't suppose you'd care to tell me why you warned me to get out of Headstone.
Got me all wrong, Saint. I wasn't warning you. I was just talking about myself.
And I don't suppose you'd care to tell me why somebody took pot shots at Miss Connolly here and told her to get out of town, too.
Me, I don't know nothing. Like I was telling you, Saint, I mind my own business. Maybe you stay ignorant that way, but it's healthier, and I like it like that.
And in that case, why did you send Miss Connolly in to see me?
Well, like you can see, she's a pretty little pigeon. She needs to know some guy will help her. Now, it ain't no secret that the Saint goes around mixing in other people's business, so I tell her to see you.
And who told you I was the Saint?
I got eyes in my head, ain't I? Like I said, I used to hack in Brooklyn. I got around.
What about this Mike McCarthy?
Strictly smart money, Saint.
Huh?
A lot of guys have crossed his path once, if you get what I mean.
What about Harry Kelly?
Local stuff. A nice schmo, but no more.
You're doing all right for a guy that doesn't know anything.
You got me wrong, pal. Ziggy, he looks people over, but he don't see nothing except one guy is tough, another guy is a schmo, and maybe another guy is too nosy.
I really don't think we should try to involve Ziggy, Simon. He's been very nice as it is.
Yeah, she's got something, pal. I ain't really equipped for it because the way you're headed, only a saint could feel at home. Saint, Kelly lives on the first floor in the room.
Oh, thanks. Wait for us, Ziggy. We've got a couple of other calls to make after this.
Don't worry, I'll wait. If you get in any trouble, just yell. Then I'll drive over and tell the sheriff I heard somebody yell for help.
Oh, thanks, pal. Come on, Betty. Well, I hope our friend is in and that he talks.
Yes. Strange. Harry telling you to come and see him if you had any trouble. If he had any connection with me, then why hasn't he said something to me?
Well, sounded to me like a cautious man. Maybe he did know something, but didn't want to say anything unless he felt sure something was going to be done. Well, we'll soon know.
Yes, who is it?
Simon Templar.
Oh, the Saint. Just a minute.
Those shots were in that room.
This is no time for conversation, darling. We're going in.
Oh, but...
Like this.
Kelly.
Oh, Simon.
Kelly. Kelly, this is Simon Templar. Yes, Kelly, the Saint. Who shot you?
The window. The Saint. The mine.
Kelly. Well, Betty, he isn't going to tell us anything now. His killer did a very thorough job. Window open. Must have shot from here. There's a shell on the fireplace.
But what was he saying?
Sounded like sin. Come on, Betty. We're going to spread a little saintliness. And I think I know where to begin.
Ziggy, didn't you hear anything?
Well, I noticed some noise, but like I told you...
I know. You mind your own business.
Are we going to the sheriff's, Simon?
No, not yet. Ziggy, who's the estayer in this town?
Old man Matthews. The office is closed now, but he lives right ahead there. That big white house.
Okay, stop there.
But, Simon...
I'd like to satisfy a little curiosity about that mine of yours. I'll be right back. You stay in here, Betty.
What do you want?
Mr. Matthews.
Who else should be here? It's my house, ain't it? What do you want?
My name is Simon Templer. I wanted to ask you if you know the Connolly Silver Mine.
I know every mine within 200 miles of here, young fella. Hey, ain't that Betty Connolly sitting up there in that taxi?
Yes.
Then why can't she tell you about the mine? She owns it.
Well, she has told me, but I just wanted to check about the possibility of a mistake. How much silver would you say there was in the Connolly mine?
About enough to put in your eye and still leave room for your finger.
Couldn't there be a hidden vein in it?
Nope. There ain't been enough silver around here to make a dime for years and years.
Could there be anything else of value in it?
Mud and water, if you call that valuable.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Young fella, I've been here man and boy for 70 years, and I ain't got no time to stand around answering darn fool questions. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye. Betty, you may be right. Old man Matthews says the mine is worthless, too. So, Ziggy, take us to see Mike McCarthy.
Are you sure you want to go there, say? If I was you, I'd get on that plane. It's leaving pretty soon.
No, Ziggy, I've decided not to leave Headstone just yet. Later, you can drive me over to Albuquerque, and I'll take the chief the rest of the way.
Okay, Chum, it's your funeral.
Please be careful.
Don't you worry, Betty. The Halo Wearers Benevolent Association would be very upset if anything happened to me. I'll be right out.
Yeah?
I'm looking for Mike McCarthy.
Well, you found him.
It's my Boy Scout training. It never fails. My name is Simon Templer.
The Saint?
I've been known by that name.
So what?
That's a very interesting question. I must try to think of an answer sometime. Meanwhile, I thought you might like to know that I heartily disapprove of your telling a certain Miss Betty Connolly that she ought to leave town.
What's the girl to you?
That's my business.
I could make it mine. And if I do, your halo's going to slip down and start choking you.
I thought bullets were more in your line.
Meaning what?
Meaning the shots fired at Miss Connolly and a little gunning job only a few minutes ago.
I didn't do any gunning. But I'm liable to if you don't beat it.
You sound so sure of yourself, Michael.
That's because I got more in my hand than an itching palm.
That's a very pretty gun, Mike. But I'm very much afraid that nothing will satisfy my curiosity short of knowing why you want to get Miss Connolly out of town.
I got answers for nosy guys. Six of them. I'll just stand right there. Stay away from that desk, Saint, or I'll...
Don't worry, Mike. I have no interest in the desk at all. But I do have an interest in Miss Connolly. And now, Michael, I'll bid you adieu.
Simon?
Oh, not much, I'm afraid. The conversation was just getting interesting when Mike had a sudden attack of dropsy.
That's funny. I never heard of him being sick.
Oh, that's because you mind your own business, Ziggy, like you told me. Betty, where is that silver mine of yours?
About 2 miles out of town.
Is there any place in town where we can rent a car?
Well, why, I have a car. Why?
I feel a prospecting urge coming over me. Ziggy, take us to Miss Connolly's car, and then we can dispense with your valuable service.
What's wrong with my cab?
Nothing, Ziggy. It's just that I don't like people looking over my shoulder. Especially when I visit a lonely mine in the company of a beautiful girl.
Well, here's the Betty mine. Although I don't know why you want to see it.
Frankly, I don't know either. As long as I'm here, I might as well take the 40-cent tour.
Certainly, sir. Right this way. This old cable car goes down into the mine. All we have to do is stand on the platform and pull the cable. It works with balanced weight.
Clever, these 49ers. How far down?
On the 40-cent tour, we give the exact distance. 354 feet, 6 inches.
Thank you. And thank you for having electric lights in a mine that hasn't been worked for years.
Oh, the mine has its own battery. See? Here's a bulb on the car. Shall we go down?
What are we waiting for? Let's go. Maybe the lights will go out.
Just hold it like that. I've been waiting for you two.
Well, Michael McCarthy, I was wondering if we were going to have your company.
And this time, wise guy, don't try anything.
Don't tell me, Michael, that you're going prospecting with us.
I'm riding down with you, but I'm coming back alone. Start the car down, Saint, but don't try no tricks.
You have a suspicious mind, Mike. Well, here we go. Call out your floors, please. Mezzanine, ladies' underwear, galoshes, and accessories.
You'll be singing a different tune pretty soon, Saint. You both had your chance to leave town your way. Now you're going to leave my way.
Oh, Simon, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be, Betty. This is my first ride on an open cable car.
And it'll be your last.
I wouldn't be too sure. Unless that cable breaks before we get to the bottom.
What are you talking about?
Sucker! It's a little crowded here for a 1-2, so I guess a 1.5 will have to do.
Oh, Simon. How terrible.
There now, Betty. It's all right.
Oh, Simon, it could have been you. He almost knocked you off the platform, too.
Yeah, it was the padded shoulders in my coat. I felt them hit the side.
Oh, look at your shoulders. They're covered with dirt from the sides of the shaft.
Yeah. Huh. It's red dirt. Wait a minute. Well, we can go back up, Betty. Mike doesn't need our help, and I don't need anybody to answer questions anymore.
I'll never understand you. Why did you look at the dirt on your coat and say you didn't need any more questions?
Because that dirt was red sulfide, Betty. And it explains why Mike was so anxious to run you out of town.
Well, I don't see how. Red sulfide is used in paint, but that doesn't make it valuable.
Red sulfide is also cinnabar ore from which we get mercury, and that is pretty valuable. Evidently, your mine is rich in cinnabar, so it's worth a lot of money, Betty.
Oh, then that was what Kelly was trying to tell us when he said sin.
Yes, he was trying to say cinnabar.
How can I ever thank you, Simon?
Well, I have a couple of ideas on the subject. Oh, but now people would say I was chasing you for your money. So, I guess you can just see me off on the train. We'll stop in town and have Ziggy drive us to Albuquerque.
Oh, but I'll drive you.
Now, I insist on taking a cab. I don't want you coming back alone. I may want to change my mind about fortune hunting.
Like I said, Saint, I'm glad to see you leaving. This town is just funny about strangers, but I'd sure to take Miss Conley with you.
But she doesn't have to go now, Ziggy, and besides, she's rich.
She's what?
Yes, Ziggy, we found out that Dad's mine is valuable after all.
You mean you found silver in it?
No, mercury.
Oh, the stuff they put in thermometers?
That's the stuff, Ziggy, but it's used for a lot of other things, particularly in wartime, and it's worth a lot of money.
Well, what do you know? So that's why Mike was trying to make you leave, huh?
That's it.
Well, did you stop and tell the sheriff?
We didn't have time, but I'll see him when we go back.
Oh, well, that's pretty nice for you, ain't it, buddy? Oh, here we are. Just in time, too. Yeah, the chief's in already. Yeah,
very nice timing, Ziggy. Thanks, Betty, for keeping my forced visit to Headstone from being dull.
Oh, Simon, well, why don't you stay in Headstone? I won't know how to run the mine or what to do with the money or anything.
You'll learn, Betty. You know what to do when you get back to town?
Yes, but... Well, will the sheriff believe me? I mean, about Mike McCarthy killing Harry Kelly.
I don't think he will, since Mike didn't kill Kelly.
But...
Kelly was shot with an automatic. He ejected a shell on the fireplace, remember? But Mike McCarthy carried a revolver. You saw it.
Yes, but will the sheriff...
Oh, the sheriff will believe when you show him that the gun that killed Kelly is in Ziggy's pocket.
What? What are you talking about?
You knew about the cinnabar ore in the mine. You carried some of it away to be tested in your cab. And there was red dust in it, which you tried to explain with a corny gag.
You're crazy.
Harry Kelly had an idea what was going on, so you slipped around to the back while we were at the front door and killed him.
All right, wise guy, you're so smart. What about Mike?
Mike was working for you.
But Simon, Ziggy told me that you were in town.
Sure, he couldn't be sure that I wasn't here to break up his little scheme, so the smartest thing to do was to get us together so he could watch both of us. He thought I would use his cab, as I did, and it would be easy. But he slipped up when he sent Mike out to the mine ahead of us. Ziggy was the only one who knew where we were going.
Okay, pal, you asked for it. This
time, sweetheart!
Like you said, pal, you should have followed your own advice about minding your own business.
Four.
Well, he's all yours, Betty. The gun that killed Kelly is now on the seat beside him. All you have to do is turn the body and the gun over to the sheriff, and from there on in, he'll mind Ziggy's business for him.
But, Simon...
Don't worry, Betty. I'll stop back someday to make sure that Venus is in conjunction with Mercury.
You have just heard another adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many times there have been men just like Ziggy led into crime by insatiable greed, forgetting the simplest truth so aptly phrased by John Dryden. Murder may pass unpunished for a time, but tardy justice will o'ertake the crime. This is Vincent Price extending a personal invitation to all of you to join us again next week at this same time for another adventure of The Saint. Good night.
The Saint, untuned to yesterday from July 31st, 1949, from the Mutual Broadcasting System. Wrapping up this hour of mystery, untuned to yesterday, be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.